We'll just talk about
Blog Talk Radio.
Anyway, what were you saying about Meatloaf?
I was just saying it. Well, you were saying about Meatloaf, about how you don't like him. And I'm just saying, you know, we're having a discussion. I mean, well, I don't know. This has nothing to do with hockey, but what do you think about Meatloaf? You had some good points, I thought. Well, at least the funny points.
You're just fat, sweaty, and that puffy shirt, and every song to me sounds the same. And if I never heard that stupid, what's the one where he trapped Phil Rizzuto into reading the words? What is that song? Do you love me? Will you love me forever? What's he gonna be, boy? Will you love me? Oh, will you love me forever? Oh, here he comes. He's around the third. And, oh, wait a minute. And he's safe. Hold on. Say, will you love me? Will you sleep on it? Oh, baby, baby, let me sleep on it. Fucking kids. It.
Well, that, you know.
That wasn't a bad Meatloaf take, was it?
No, that wasn't bad. Now, you know that you were saying something about the ugly women that are in that video or something.
Yeah.
You know. I think Carla something was in the video, but she didn't sing on the album. Now, you know who sang on the album, right?
Refresh my memory. Carla DeVito. Here comes Mandar's got it.
Yeah,
Carla DeVito.
But who sang on the album was the original prosecutor in Night Court. Not
Marky Post?
No, the one before that. She sang on the album. She was the actual singer. The one who did not. Why are we talking about Meatloaf? Usually we're talking about the food Meatloaf.
Because it's funny.
Yeah, that's good. And plus, you know, every chick's got to sing this. Every time there's a party or a wedding, they play that song. They all sing to each other.
Oh, you know when you always hear that song? Whenever there's a group of people together at a bar and it's karaoke night, and then they all got to drag each other up there, kicking and screaming. Oh, let's sing that Meatloaf song, and they all stand up there and sing it really bad, which is kind of hard to do considering how bad a song it is to begin with. And they all pass the microphone around, and they're all fucking drunk. Let me sleep on it, baby, baby, let me sleep on it. I think I'd rather hear Cutter do Sinatra.
Wow, that's got a chance.
So anyway,
welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio, everybody.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
How are you?
I see the chat room is full. Those of you that joined us last night, we appreciate it for our little test show. And now we are fully operational, like the Death Star.
Yes. You would think the way we were acting at the beginning of the show, this would be the test show.
Adam said, is this a continuation of the test show?
It might be.
Hey, look.
It may be, rather.
There's only so much we can talk about all summer.
Well, there's plenty of stuff to talk about.
I know. We got to entertain, too. I promised we'd entertain. So,
yeah, I did promise
fun. Impersonation. What could be better than that? So, again, I'll ask. I opened it last night. I'll say it again. How about those Lightning, Eddie?
That's right. Tampon Bay doing it. Just like I wanted them to do it. Sweep, total annihilation of the Capitals and Hakadaz. Bruce Woodrow is not a happy camper. And like you posted yesterday on the Tracebook, you know, Martin St. Louis may have just sent Bruce Boudreau to the unemployment line. Now,
Jordan McKee has come out and said that he hopes Boudreaux will be back, but why would he say that? Why wouldn't you just say, yes, he'll be back? I mean, is Boudreaux going to quit? Of course not. All right, so right. Why, you know, it just seemed like a curious statement for me to say that.
Now, I ask you, I beg the question to you, as well as our dedicated, loyal follower, audience, chat room, clientele, does having this much joy that the Capitals have lost mean that we're like Islander fans rooting against the Rangers when the Rangers make the playoffs?
No, I think it's sports human nature to root against the team that eliminated you, and I think you know, they're certainly, if you're not a fan of the Capitals, I think they're pretty high on everybody's hate list. And it's just good old Schadenfreude is what it is.
That's what I say. But I just wanted to ask the question, because you know there's people with diverse opinions out there and diverse ways of thinking it. Of it. Now, my second question.
I posed this question on Facebook, and some of the people here I know already responded on Facebook, but I'll ask you. And I said this, I said last night that, you know, Crosby and Ovechkin will always, for as long as their careers go on, they'll always be linked, you know, for one reason or another. They're the poster boys of this league. You know, it's hard to mention one without the other coming up in the conversation. And I said, but you know what I think the big, you know what the difference is to me? As much as I, and I'm no Crosby fan, we know this. I mean, I'm the guy that calls him bitch lips when you know, in private circles. But you know what? Sidney Crosby's a winner. Alex Ovechkin's not a winner.
No. And he's not a leader. He's a leader on the ice, you know, with his play. But I couldn't even understand the guy if he was talking to me right next to me. So as a motivational guy in the locker room, I mean, I think he's a zero. He basically, is an example on the ice, and you know, that just carries you too much. For, you know, that's not really in my idea what a captain should be. But you know, the captains come in different shapes and forms. Go ahead.
And I see they're discussing a little bit in the chat room, and yeah, Crosby's still a puss. That's fine, but. And Robbie brought it up last night. Oh, well, I hate them both. And I said, well, you know, I don't like either one of them either. But you give me a choice, and I'm taking – I said, who are you going to take? You're going to take the guy who celebrates a goal in November like he just saved humanity, or you're going to take the guy who's won at every level? He's won on the league stage, he's won on the world stage, and he's been clutching both. I mean, there's no question that Ovechkin's one of the most talented guys ever played a game. But he's not a winner. In my mind.
Well, you know, it also begs the whole Dan Marino thing. You know, Dan Marino was a great player, but, he never won the Super Bowl. Although I think there's a lot more players go involved into winning a Super Bowl. You know, you have the offense and the defense, and they're not on the field at the same time. So maybe that analogy is not the greatest. But I agree with you. I mean, Ovechkin is super talented, and I hate Sidney Crosby. But if you don't think he's a good hockey player, you know, you're out to lunch. A great hockey player.
Right.
Like you said, with the Olympics, the overtime goal, he's a winner, like you said. And Ovechkin with the bunny hopping and the whole, those teeth and getting on his knees and doing, that's the ESPNs. That's the guy who thinks he's the, you know, I can't say he's not a team player, but I don't think he's a good leader. I agree. I concur completely.
Okay. Yeah, and I see, you know, and I'm not defending, you know, this isn't defending Sidney Crosby because I can't stand him either. And, you know, everything everybody's saying about Sidney Crosby in the chat room, I'll absolutely agree with. But if you give me a choice, I'm taking Sidney Crosby every time because the guy's a winner. Bottom line, love him, hate him. I can't argue with his trophy case.
I mean, you know, these guys are world class players. Now, moving on. If we want to move on, can we move on?
No, sure. I just want to throw that out there.
So we tell everybody about the new co-host feature.
Yes. Sure. You want to tell them? You want me to tell them?
You tell them. You know more about this stuff.
Okay. If you'll notice in the chat room, there's Blue Shirt Banner listed. That's me. And then there's Blue Shirt Banner co-host. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out that that's Eddie. It's just a new feature on Blog Talk Radio that allows Eddie to log into the chat as a co-host, or me if Eddie's hosting. It allows both of us to work the switchboard. Both of us can work the files. So now, you know, it just makes things a lot easier for both of us, really. Eddie can take calls, dump calls. Eddie can blow people up. Eddie can play clips. So that's why we had the little...
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
It's perfect. That's why we had the little 15-minute test show last night, because we figured that the easiest way to test this out was rather than do it tonight during the regular show, you know, and if there were mistakes or we didn't know what was going on, you know, look like the bigger fools than we usually do, figured we'd do a 15-minute test show last night, run through it. I was going to have my wife call in so we could test the switchboard. Little did I know that Blog Talk Radio would send you guys that follow us on Blog Talk an email reminder that we had a show. So we wound up having about 15 of you in the chat room, which was great. A couple of you called in. We got to test out the whole thing, and we had a little fun in the process. So that's the new scoop here. Yes, Eddie can blow you up. I think he's looking forward to it. I'm anxious to see who he's gonna pop his proverbial cherry with.
I don't. That's too much responsibility for me, actually.
Oh,
Jim,
bullshit!
Because you know what it is. Because,
oh, that's great.
I mean, because I don't like. I would blow people up a lot earlier than you.
That's funny. I know the phone lines were already jammed. We'll get to you guys in just a second. I just got one more funny thing to tell you. We had a meeting at work today. It's like company quarterly meeting. We have these every quarter. And what they do is everybody that works at our corporate office, we all get together in the conference room, and then in all our other locations, they call in and they listen to it on a conference call. And every time somebody logs in or out of the conference call, you hear this. So I'm sitting there during this conference, and people will be up there talking, and all of a sudden you hear somebody log in, somebody log it out, somebody log it in. And I'm sitting there like trying not to laugh, because all I keep thinking is, you know, cookies are done or you know, just stupidness from the show. And meanwhile, you know, like it's supposed to be this big serious meeting, and this thing's going off through the whole meeting. Ding. So anyway, that's the scoop. That's the new feature here on Blog Talk Radio that we're excited to be using. Now, we talked about this off the air, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it the other night. And you had actually brought it up to me on the phone. Was on breakup day, what Henrik Lundqvist had to say. And do you want to recap that, and then we'll talk about it a little bit, because I think we both had some thoughts on it.
Well, Henrik basically said, you know, he was 29, and he really doesn't realize, he doesn't know how many more chances at the playoffs he's going to get. Now, you know, I still think he's got, you know, quite a while, but apparently it's almost like his clock is ticking in his head. That he's
biological clock.
His biological clock is ticking. Because, you know, to keep this kind of pace at the level he's playing, it's hard not to get burned out. I mean, there are a lot of goalies, you know, he's done it quite a while now, and you know, physically you're going to start to break down somewhere if you got to be, you know, the savior every night. I mean, this isn't like he's Martin Brodeur, especially earlier in his career, and you know, even now, really facing 20 shots a night, and you know, and I'm not taking anything from Martin Brodeur, even though again I hate that bastard. He's certainly a good goalie against other teams. Against the Rangers, however, he's not so good, which I'm very thankful for, especially against Lundqvist. But, you know, you've got to give him props. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, even though it kills me to do that. I might actually have to blow myself up to saying that. See, I feel better than I did to myself. So, yeah, that's a cause for concern. And, you know, we'll see what happens about that. I don't know what you guys think about it.
Well, and, you know, is it...
Let me just ask this. How many years is he under contract for still?
He got a 7-year deal, didn't he? Three more seasons?
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
I think it's three more seasons. I'm sure the answer will come in the chat room very quickly. But here's a couple quick takes from me. He's 29. Would it be fair to assess him as an old 29-year-old goalie? With
no.
all the, you don't think so? At the heavy workload and as much as he gets hit and run into?
I don't think so, because
no?
He never really had a long run in the playoffs. You know,
true.
I think playoffs take a lot out of you. Take a lot
we wouldn't know.
Right.
None of our players would know.
You know, the regular season's a different animal. And although the last two seasons he's really gotten run into way too much. I don't think that was a problem in the years past, but the last 2 years for sure. No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
And has he suffered many injuries throughout his career? I don't think many, right? Like, I can't remember him being out for an extensive amount of time.
Well, he had the knee injury. How long ago was the knee injury? Was the knee injury after the Olympics? Mandar says he reminds you of a 20... Oh, maybe he's talking about Barry Trotz. I'm not sure. He said he reminds me of a 22-year-old Eddie Dyke. I'm not sure
no,
who he's talking about.
I was more in the John Davidson range in hockey back in the day when I played Go. So, Rock saying lockout season. So, anyway.
Sorry.
I don't know what's going on. No, don't worry about it. Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what you guys think.
So, fair enough. I'll give you that on his age. Let me ask you this: Is he starting to think about maybe playing for another team? Is he starting to think that, you know, with my window closing, is it time to start thinking about other options? Now, I'm not saying they should trade him. I'm not saying they will trade him. I'm speculating. Conjecture.
I know you're speculating. I think when he said that, instead of every year he says the same thing, you know, we got to play better and I got to play better. And we all know that he couldn't have played any better, right? I mean, he's just, you know, he's a humble guy. I think this was the first slip, like, you know, guys, you guys are rebuilding here. But unless you bring in two or three elite players in the next couple of years to, you know, kind of, you know, level up this the team to a status where it's competitive for the conference title, then, you know, I might not be around. I think that's – he should think that way. You know? I mean, I think that's valid on his point. And we could look into that. I mean, we can speculate that. I think that's
it's only natural that that's got to be in his head somewhere, wouldn't you think? I don't know. Whatever.
It's got to be. You got to be frustrated with this nonsense. Come on.
You know me. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I like to read between the lines with everything these guys say.
Okay. So anyway, I see CCCP is in the chat room.
Yeah.
My condolences to Mr. Ovechkin. I'm sure you're very somber now that Ovi is out of the playoffs. But I'm sure there's some other Russian that you love still in the playoffs. he's a Russian man and he loves his Russian players. Oh, you're Ukrainian? Whatever.
Oops.
Same difference. I don't know anything. Then why do you have CCCP as your name then, all right? I don't know what's going on. Like, so anyway. Anywho, we got a lot of phone calls, and Jim, get to them, bitch. No, I'm only kidding, brother.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
All right, let's go to 347894.
What's up, boys? It's Rock. How are you?
Hey, Rock. How you doing?
Good, good. I got that that email last night about a show, and I just thought it was a mistake. Otherwise, I would have jumped on for a few minutes just to hear.
Oh, no mistake.
Because I know they sent that an email in the past when they said the show was on one time, I think at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I think I sent you an email saying, is the show on at 2 o'clock? I'm like, no, it's a mistake. So I just thought maybe they did that to you guys again.
No, we scheduled that show at, I think I set it up at about 10 o'clock your time to start at 10:30, and it just blasted the emails out. Yeah, you should have joined us. It was fun.
Yeah, I would have loved to, because I'll tell you, I was rooting for for Tampa Bay and screaming and yelling, and I'm just sick of Ovechkin, period. And it's a great point that you guys brought up, that it's just Crosby and Ovechkin, and it's like the rest of the NHL doesn't matter. It's Crosby and Ovechkin and small market teams. That's the only thing the NHL Network, they seem to focus on. I mean, you look at these highlights, half of them are Canadian teams. I don't know if you watch the NHL Network in general, and this is like a totally different tangent, but it's Crosby and Ovechkin, it's Canada, and it's small market teams. And it kills me because how many times I have seen Rick Nash score on Lundqvist this entire season on the NHL Network, that goal he scored on him, or Ovechkin's goal with the backhand in the playoffs, I must have seen that 50 times in the last week. But they don't show Lundqvist any great saves he's made. They don't show any of the New York teams or any players in the New York area at all. Right? They just totally alienate the entire area, and it kills me when they do that. But I'm just tired of Ovechkin and Crosby. I mean, Crosby's already had two Winter Classics. I mean, New York is clamoring for a Winter Classic. They've thrown that out twice. But they're sending us over to Europe again. I mean, they keep doing that, but I don't know. It just drives me crazy.
Well, you're right. You're exactly right about the NHL Network being very you know, I guess because they're just shills, I don't want to say shills, but really it's a Gary Bettman run thing. So now you know what they're trying to push. They're pushing the Duke Post, the boys, and the small market teams. They want to keep somehow going. I don't know if it's a thing against MSG, because you will never see anything about the Islanders or Devils or the Rangers on there. I don't know if it's that. But even,
I mean, Eddie, they're showing highlights of guys that are going to the All-Star game, and they show practically every other goalie, every other player, but the one thing they show is Rick Nash scoring on Lundqvist. That's the only highlight they showed of a Ranger player in their whole All-Star clip, was Rick Nash scoring on Lundqvist. It was a nice goal. It was a really great move that he put on. But show Lundqvist making a friggin' save, too. Don't make him look like an idiot. I mean, it made him look like an idiot. And I mean, it was a great goal, but it just drives me crazy that they constantly try to make the New York team look horrible on the NHL Network. I mean, if a Ranger goalie gives up a bad goal during the regular season, you're going to see it on the NHL Network the entire season. It happened last year when Ovechkin went through Roosevelt's legs and flipped the puck over the shoulder of Lundqvist. And the Rangers were up, I think there was another game that Washington came up back against. They were up by two or three goals, and they came back and lost their game in overtime last year. That goal was on the NHL Network all of last season. It just drives me crazy that, you know, their headquarters are in New York. New York is a great hockey market when it wants to be, and they constantly, you know, throw this. I don't know, maybe it's just my own personal feelings, because all I hear is about football and baseball in New York, and it drives me crazy. So,
think you're right. And even if you notice, and this goes for just American media in general, they look down upon us, the Canadian people, because it's their sport. Even in the journalists, think about who's the most famous American hockey writer that you can think of. It's got to be Stan Fischler. Look what a moron he is. You know, I mean, there's not too many guys that maybe an anti-New York. Oh, sorry, Stan. But I think you might be right. I mean, you know, everybody loves to hate New York, you know, and although we don't do much winning, it's still.
Yeah,
with, I mean,
let's be honest, with the exception of the Yankees, there's really not much winning going. Maybe the Giants won recently, but
yeah.
There's not much winning going
yeah.
on in New York. I mean, I don't know what there is to hate. I don't know if they're jealous because the way the franchises have more money than some of the smaller markets. But I don't know what there is to hate. I mean, the Rangers spent all that money. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars from, you know, 1999 until the lockout, and they've never made the playoffs. So I don't know where the emptiness comes from.
It's New York.
You know, and
center of the universe, and people hate that.
Yes. You know, I just also want to make a point about this, about Rangers hockey and Ranger fans. You know, this program does crazy numbers. I'm not bragging. We never release the numbers because basically we don't want to brag. But this show, the amount of people who show up for this show, first of all, astounds me. And
you guys do a fantastic job.
If they were to, like, say, XM Radio just have a channel for Ranger fans, it would outdraw any interest in any small market team, all the things they cover on, like, the NHL Network and on these other shows on XM and whatever, talk about hockey in general. If they're trying to get American listeners, nobody cares. Because in Detroit, people got plenty of coverage about the Detroit Red Wings. You know, in all the successful hockey towns, if your team is good and is an original six, usually, you're going to get great coverage. But here, we don't get great coverage, which is another knock on just sports in general here. And I will never buy the fact that they say there aren't enough people who want to talk hockey in New York, and that's why on WFAN they don't have. We don't get the callers. We do what the callers do.
Yeah, don't even get me started on WFAN. I have my own issue with them.
So, to me, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, and, you know, we all know how good everybody calls in and very informed. So I don't understand how that works. But, yes, I mean, we are paranoid. We are Ranger fans, so maybe it is. Everything's a bad clip about the Rangers. But, Rock, let's change gears here for a second, and I want to pose a question to you.
Sure.
And this has been going through a lot of Rangers' minds, so I want to know you and the fans' take on this.
Mm-hmm.
Does the fact that Tampon swept the Capitals kind of change your attitude about how the Rangers really are because we only beat them one game? Does it change the mindset? Or, you know, Russ Cohen, who works on XM today, said on Facebook for me, you can't really compare the two series. You could say, well, the Rangers maybe have loosen them up, you know, warm down a little bit. But does it change your outlook on the Rangers season now and the way it ended?
You know, that's a great question. I heard you pose that question earlier. You know, I always said, I guess if a team beats you and winds up going to the Stanley Cup Finals, they were the best team. That being said, who knows? I mean, let's be honest. The Rangers, despite the fact that they lost the series in five games, I think they pushed that team to the brink. I mean, they took them to two overtimes. They were tight games. They were grinding games. You know, and let's be honest. What do the Rangers lack? What do the Rangers lack that Tampa Bay has? Scoring. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. They had the guns to go head to head, and Washington's goaltending was not as good as Tampa Bay's. And that's. I mean, it all boils down to the same thing. It's the Rangers' offense. It's their anemic offense. And, I mean, I guess in hindsight, when you look at it, like, wow, you know, Tampa Bay swept them. But, you know, the Rangers, it could have very easily been, you know, Rangers up 3-2 going into game six. It could have very easily been that, too. You know, a bounce here, a bounce there, luck here, luck there. I don't know. I mean, Eddie, that's a great question. I don't know how I feel about that. It's like I said, I'm kind of on the fence still. Let's see how Tampa Bay does next round. You know,
maybe they just put
lightning in a bottle. No pun intended.
Yeah, right. I am too because Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at both teams, right? I mean, you look, I know they have scoring Tampa, but I really wasn't sold on their, you know, was it Matias Olund and Victor Hedman and their defense.
But it's better than the Capitals' defense. I think they have a better defense than the Capitals.
But didn't the Capitals' defense look all-world against us, though? Blocking shots, no quality shots. I mean, how bad are the Rangers offensively that they couldn't?
Bad.
Man.
That makes me think. That makes me think.
But then that brings
think
us
that
to
the team is a bunch of a fourth liners, third liners.
Then that brings
well,
you back.
They,
no,
are.
They are.
They are.
Well, I wouldn't go fourth liners. You probably have a few
third
liners. Third
and fourth
liners.
There's there's only.
That
I mean, really,
the whole Lundqvist thing.
But there's only one.
That's good. I'm sorry,
only
folks. If you think that team is full of third liners, the Rangers aren't good.
There's one alleged top six forward on that team.
The only thing that bothers me a little bit is that if you look at the Boston Bruins, all right, they have Nathan Horton, and he had a great start to the season. But they're not really – and Lucic, all right, I mean, they got a little bit out of Michael Ryda finally in the last year of his contract. I mean, I look at that team too, and I don't know how they're winning. I mean, is Chara – is Daniel Chara that big of a factor? Is their I mean, they have a great defense too. I mean, I don't know. Because I look at the Rangers team and I match them up, and you look at other teams. You look at Boston especially. They're comparable offensively. I mean, I wouldn't say that the Boston Bruins offensive, you know, their top six forwards or their top 12 guys are better than the Rangers. I would say they're relatively equal. But if you look at their defense. You know, I don't know, does Chara jump off the page? Is Chara so much more superior? Does he make them that much better? I don't know. I mean, maybe they're getting more out of certain guys that the Rangers aren't. I really don't know. I mean, I just don't know. They're scouting. They've scouted great the last few years. The Rangers have never been able to really draft a top six, top end forward.
Right, because.
And it's never happened. And I know Doug Wade and Tony Amonte aside, they're not Hall of Famers. They've never drafted that elite goal scorer.
Right.
Maybe Rick Nettleton.
They never. I mean, they've only had a few times, you know, positions where they were able to draft that guy. And as a matter of fact, our friend Mitch Beck from whatever he is, he talked to Jim Schoenfeld this week, and he flat out said the Rangers cannot afford to finish last. That's not even a, you know. So all you tank people, they're not even thinking about getting a high draft.
But, guys, if you look at Detroit and you look at the Devils, I mean, the Devils not as much now, but in the past, and you look at Philly. I mean, Philly got James Van Riemsdyk. I can't even pronounce the guy's name. But those teams have drafted in the bottom echelon of the draft and have found diamonds in the rough. I mean, they're scouting. Even Anaheim, they drafted Getzlaf and Perry, you know, late in the first round. So I mean, there have been instances where teams who aren't finishing in the bottom echelon of the NHL are finding players in the lower end of the draft, and they're finding elite guys. They're not just finding, you know, Peter Pruka. They're finding guys, you know, that are superstars, that are Hall of Famers. So, I mean, it goes back to the Rangers scouting. Now, to me, it looks like they're headed in the right direction. I like what I'm seeing. But, again, to me, and this is where we talk about Lundqvist. If I'm Henrik Lundqvist, I'm 29 years old. I got three more years. I got bad knees. I'm, you know, my knees aren't probably in prime shape. I'm looking at this team and saying, we're better than Boston. We probably should have beat Washington. Where's my help? Why do I have to win every game 2-1 every night? And I think if I'm him, that to me, that's a jab at the management more than anything else, saying, listen, he doesn't want to leave New York, Lundqvist. I mean, come on. It's what he is. He just opened a restaurant here with Avery. He's not looking to leave here. He wants help. This is like, guys, listen, enough's enough. They haven't had 3 years now. They've had an anemic offense. Get me some help. I mean, I think that was a cry for help more than anything else. And it might have also been a jab saying, listen, I have three more years left. You don't get me any help. This team isn't any better. See ya. It's a possibility.
I'm not laughing at you. Somebody made a funny comic about Neuwirth being Amy Arnano said Neuwirth is Bjork, but only pretty.
Rock, you make a great point. You know, everybody says you got to be bad and get the high draft pick to get a score. Well, you're going to tell me that with an entire world to choose from of hockey talent, that only the top 10 or 15 picks are going to be scorers? Corey Perry was picked 28th in the first round.
And when right? Look at Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk, and I mean, go on and on, and look through the drafts, and look who the Rangers have picked and who have been drafted after them. I mean, you want to kill yourself after that. I mean, it's amazing.
Ryan Kessler was picked 23rd in the first round. It is possible to still find a guy that could score after pick 15.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I mean, I feel better now that Gordy Clark is in the mix now for the last, 3 years as far as the drafting goes. Before then, I don't know who was running the ship, but it was terrible. I mean, so I feel like they're starting to get these guys, but now I think Lundqvist is putting a little bit like, listen, there may not be enough time here. You keep saying you got this world-class goalie, but, you know, this world-class goalie wants to win a freaking Stanley Cup to go along with that Olympic ring. And, it could come down to that. And I wouldn't blame him. I mean, you know, listen, you got a career to look at, you know. You know how it is today with the allegiance to sports franchises. The Rangers have made them a lot of money in endorsements and what have you, but as far as profession, they have done squat for him. Except subject him to some.
To me, that conversation, that interview, to me was a cry for help, because he's never done that before in any of his any post. I've read them all, but I don't remember them verbatim. But I've never heard him say something like that before. Now, maybe
he's never said anything.
He's emotional. He's getting married this summer. You know, he's starting to kind of, you know, feel like he's getting old. I mean, that could have been creeped into his mind also. But to me, it was a cry for help. And if the team, to me, if they don't go out and get themselves a legitimate top three forward, or even if they go out and get a top three or a top two defenseman, to me, I think we're looking at the same team with the same problems next season.
I think, Rock, I think it's Brad Richards. I think they're going to do everything they can to get Brad Richards. I really do. I think it's going to come to absurd offers, which, you know, I know a lot of people are afraid of, you know, because we have a bad history with long-term, high-priced contracts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such could it be a more glaring need than what he has to bring to the table for this team?
No, you're right.
The power play is unwatchable.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, they don't have anybody who can score. And I know a lot of people say, well, he's not a scorer, he's a setup man. The Rangers need setup men. You know, they're doing this all, you know, primarily with nobody who can really pass the puck. You know, you look at Brian Boyle, what do you have, 10 assists? Sean Avery was their setup man this year.
I think he had his second best season in assists all time, believe it or not,
season. And they don't really have a puck-moving defenseman as of yet, so they need this guy bad. And listen, they got to roll the dice. They cannot stand pat. I don't think, as optimistic as we are about the Rangers, and maybe at the Ranger high of the season, even though they lost in the first round, it's kind of gone with me, I still think going to next year, if we win the next year with more young guys and the same team, I think the natives will not be happy. What do you guys think?
Are the natives ever happy?
What have you done for me lately? I mean, that's usually how it is in New York, right? Right, guys? I mean,
well usually when the season begins or in preseason.
Oh, we think we're winning the cup.
Think about it. Well, yeah, you know. Oh, Frolov, we got him down for 30 goals, you know. That was Todd White. He had a good year a couple of years ago playing with Kovalchuk. You know, we start thinking that way. Then reality sets in. So I think we like to have the new toys, the new players, and you know, so we're at least up going into the season. If the Rangers do nothing and we see, like, you know, yeah, possibly Valentenko makes a spot, and then you got maybe, I don't know, Evgeny Grachev getting a shot, and Kreider makes the team. Is that enough to quell the Ranger fan?
You know what, guys? I'd almost rather them do that than go out and give an Alex Kotelik-type player a 3-year, $9 million contract. That's my own. I would leave the salary cap flexible as humanly possible. I would, if you can't get Brad Richards and you can't make a trade without decimating your young farm system, then stay pat. Go into next season with the same team, re-sign Fedotenko to a 1-year contract, get another veteran to kind of help with the veteran leadership. And if Richards is signed before July 1st, I don't think he even bothered buying out Drury and Wolski. You let them finish the friggin' contract out. I mean, what's the point of carrying cap space into next season, or carrying dead weight into next season or the season after, if you're not bringing this guy in? I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little bit oversensitive, but I don't see the point in buying guys out then if you're just going to spend the money to fill a hole. Fill it with the right guy. Just don't fill it with somebody because you need to fill the spot.
Oh, I know that's going to happen. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
I thought about it. After, you know, the response we got for Milan Hayduk and, oh, no, not him. I guarantee he's going to be on the roster. I guarantee it.
Well, if he's not there, Alex Tenge will be, or one of those guys are going to be on the roster. You can guarantee that. Every summer, it's the same story. It's the question mark hockey player. We think he's going to be able to resurrect his career with the Rangers and score 20 goals. Meanwhile, he doesn't even break the 10-goal mark half the time, half these guys. It's amazing.
Be like, well, if Hayduk could stay healthy, I think he might get 30. Yeah.
He'll get 4 as ACL the week after Christmas. Unbelievable. But,
all right,
we got
Rock.
A long summer, guys, and, you know, that week between June 15th and June 30th is going to be very interesting with this whole buyout thing. So we have an interesting couple of months coming up, so hopefully we'll be happy come July 1st.
We'll see. All right, buddy, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Be good. Have a good night. Thanks again.
You too. Bye.
Later.
Great Rock. All right, we keep phone calls rolling here. I think this is Mark. 203-231. Mark?
Yes, it is. How you doing, guys?
Good evening, sir. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good. You guys actually brought up some really good points with The Rock. There was, like, the whole psychology of a Ranger fan at this point. I mean, you think about all year long, everyone's been like, oh, this is great. We're going with youth, and we're rebuilding, but we're doing it the right way. And then suddenly, you know, we could bounce down in the first round. Everyone's like, you know, you guys are asking valid questions about, do you still feel the same way about the team now that the caps are swept? And should we go out? And now suddenly it was, oh, we got to do this really fast. You know, it's like, it's really interesting, actually. And I mean, there's valid points on both sides, but it's actually showing kind of, you know, the maniacal psychology of being a Ranger fan in New York. It's really wild, actually.
Yeah, we tend to get fickle and kind of, you know.
Yeah,
you know, second guess everything. You know how it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think back even to the trade deadline this year, everyone was worried that we were going to do something, and you know, everyone was pretty happy we didn't. And you know, we're kind of in the same situation, but it's more maybe long term because you've got a whole season to look back at. But I agree. I mean, when you guys finally kind of got around and talked about it being, you know, we're basically third and fourth line. Yeah, that's so. My thoughts on the team have not changed at all. I mean, the Caps, whatever, they're not like a huge rival or whatever. And you know, they got swept. They basically were. We were a better matchup against the Caps for them, or worse, I guess, from their perspective, than the Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was a speedy, fast team, and we were a grinding team. We could grind it out and make them kind of work for their goals. And against Tampa, they could skate a little more and go to their strength. And I think that just kind of changed the dynamic of that series. I think that's why that series is the way it is. You look at Boston, you know, Boston almost blew it against Montreal, because Montreal skated, and I don't think Boston's really equipped to do that. They're kind of like us that way. And then, you know, now they're killing the Flyers, who aren't really a skating team. They're more of a banging team, I mean, maybe. You know what I mean? So it really has to do with how you match up against whoever you're playing in that particular round. I think that's what the That's what's kind of indicating, you know what I mean, how the series are going. I think it doesn't really tell you how you would do it relatively against another team that happens to beat the team you lost to. Do you know what I mean? It's not like transitive property of playoffs or whatever, you know. So I don't know. I know because people are very sensitive to that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that's a fair point. I think when I talked to Russ Cohen about it, it was the same thing. You can't. It's not fair to look at the matchups, you know, and say, well, then I can't Tampa. So we need to be like Tampa because, you know,
right,
Tampa
right.
handled, you know. But I think in the Ranger fans, and the question is, automatically you got to think, well, hey, listen, if we had two guys who had four who could score, we would have won that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's true about regardless of who we play. That's clearly a deficiency, a power play quarterback and somebody. You know, actually, of all the postseason stuff I've heard so far, and I want to talk about hopefully about the Lundqvist comments you were talking about, was Gavrik making excuses, I thought, and saying, you know, they need to get me a setup man. That pissed me off because that's like he basically took no accountability when I read his postgame stuff, you know, about – you know, what he did this year versus last year. I mean, if he was hurt, he could have said, I was hurt. I mean, I wouldn't have cared. That would have explained that. But meanwhile, Girardi and Prust obviously had issues. They got surgery, and they were fine, you know, playing. But, you know, and last year he scored 42 goals with basically the same team. I guess Vinny Prostville played the whole year. That was really the only difference. You know, but now he was like, it was interesting because Gabrick kind of appeased to the management, and Lundqvist, to your points earlier, also kind of made reference to management, but it's totally, totally different in the way it came across. One sounded to me like a whiny, bratty player who, you know, I don't have what I need to score 42 again, but the other guy was legitimate, you know, look, here's what I've done for you. I've been a good team player, a good company guy, and now, you know, from my standpoint, I am getting a little impatient, even though as an organization, you're trying to maintain patience, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, I know I kind of, you know, I try to, like, I wanted to feel that way too, but it's hard to read, especially since we had a bias against Gavrik anyway, because he really
right.
did nothing
right.
in the playoffs. So I was wondering what he was going to say, and then when he said that, and then he said that it was a different system this year from
right.
last
right.
year, and he never
yeah,
really adapted. No,
yeah.
I'm just saying
just,
he
yeah,
made
sure.
excuses. And really, I was like, Marion, I don't want to hear any excuses. Just
exactly. You're getting, you know, now you can say, look, you're getting paid for $7 million. Shut the hell up. Get it. You do the job. You're a poet. You know, whatever. Or talk to the coach about something. You know, exactly. I totally agree with you. I just – that, to me, came out almost like insubordinate, whereas – you know, when Lundqvist said it, he didn't necessarily, you know, he never said, this is what I need. You know what I mean? He just kind of made it, here are the facts. I am 29. I have done this. I've been a veteran of violence. I don't think he said that. But, you know, I mean, he's thinking, I've been a veteran of violence. I'm doing what the hell else am I, it's kind of like what he's going to say. What else am I supposed to do? And now, you know, it's actually costing me kind of my time and my energy. You know, that's why I've been bailing out your organization. Who knows? Can you imagine if they had, like, a Neuwirth in net all these years? We wouldn't have definitely made the playoffs. You know, all this grinding and stuff may have backfired because we didn't have Lundqvist back there. I mean, that guy is part of, just like Brodeur benefits from the devil system. I mean, our grinding, you know, heartfelt season this year, we benefited from having Lundqvist for the most part, except for maybe the beginning of the year when he let in some soft goals. But other than that, you know, he basically he was like Richter in 94. Richter bailed us out again in game six against the Devils. You know, if it wasn't for him, no Messier comeback. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, that's how you know, he looks at it. I mean, he can see it, you know, and you're right. He's always humble and, oh, I could do better. But after a while, it's like 82 games worth of saying that crap. You know, he's like, come on, let's call it spade a spade, you know. So
yeah.
I respect
no,
that.
And the way he said it, it was just that one comment. He didn't point fingers,
right.
you know.
Right,
and,
exactly.
So I definitely don't. I didn't get that feeling for him. And plus, I know the way the guy. The guy's a competitor. I mean, he's
absolutely.
I just want to say, you know, then again, if we say, well, we only had two more scorers, what if we say, well, okay, now we have no McDonough and no Sauer, but you have
right,
those two
scorers. Right. Good point.
Where
are
they then?
Oh, forget it. That's a Girardi install. Can't play 45 minutes in theory, you know, and then what do you do? Yeah, you're screwed. I mean, you have to build on what you have at hopefully low expense, and that really free agency is the only way to do that. You can't, if you trade, you're going to give up, you know, so you're going to have to give up a McDonough or whatever. You know?
Say if the Rangers were to trade a McDonough or a Sauer for a,
right,
a proven
right.
goal scorer, how do you think
right.
the Ranger fans would take that?
Well, they probably would. I think in the, here's the thing: they, in the off season, it's two different seasons. It's just kind of like what we're doing now. You know, in the off season, they may be like, you know, especially let's say Richards. Okay, Richards has all this talent. The problem is the concussion. I think that's the only variable. That's one variable I would be worried about is the history there of injury. Now, are you guys? It's like Gabrick part two. Are you going to have that? So, but if Richards came in with no concussion syndrome issues and he proved to be a power play quarterback, you know, I think people would be somewhat optimistic and think, oh, maybe Delzato now can take the place, or whatever. You could kind of put the pieces together because those two guys were rookies. It's not like they were Dubinsky or Callahan, like the core of the team. I think you could make that case. But then once the season started and if it didn't work out, if the scorer or the power play still sucked, you know, then they'd be, oh, we never should have traded those guys. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? It'd be like the off-season murmur, and then there'd be the during-season, you know, analysis or, you know, review of what's going on. I think that's what would happen, you know. I think, you know, the results would be the ultimate decision, you know, if it was the right decision or not. If it's a Drury, is it a Gomez, you know, what happened with this signing? Did you get the right guy? And the right guy in New York and the right guy for this team, and is Tortorella going to let them be creative and go out there and do their thing, or is he going to say you got to be a grinder, you know, because this is a grind, all that bullshit. You know what I mean? So it's, it really depends on, you know, that's the thing. I mean, Tortorella, that's the problem I have with him in some respects is that, you know, he's got caught up in this whole thing of his mantra for the team, and you can't be, you just, I don't think you can be more successful than they already have been, you know, one round, maybe two, maybe, you know, if you're going to have this very, you know, I don't know, you know what I mean, interchangeable part team. I think that's the problem. You have to have it right. You know, because there's no, it's not like there's 20 St. Louis and the Cavaliers on Tampa. You know, they've got all these different kind of players, but they have those two guys so that when they play the Caps, they can run and gun with them. You know what I mean? We just don't have that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Tortorella, somewhere out of the line, is going to have to change his philosophy once these guys are in place.
Exactly. And then it's funny about the Lundqvist thing because I actually posted it before anything happened. I don't even know what possessed me to think of this, but before the season started, I posted on Facebook as just a generic post. You know, maybe I actually started to feel bad for Lundqvist going into the season. I was like, you know, maybe we should trade the guy, kind of like Ray Bourque. You know, not that he's played 20 years, but, you know, he's been a good soldier. Isn't he earned the fact that he should go to a contender and, you know, win a cup, because who knows if he'll ever win one with us and kind of thing? I don't know. I'm not trying to say I'm a prognosticator or whatever, but I put that, kind of just popped into my head, so I posted it, and then here we are, it's like a year later. And everyone's, you know, he actually came out and kind of said that. You know, that's what he's thinking.
Well, right. I think Mandar, you know, hit it, that a lot of it, you know, just the frustration of breakup day. But, you know, it's something to wonder about, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, Mark, listen, we're going to take some other calls, buddy, and we'll talk to you next time.
All righty. Thank you so much, guys.
All right.
Take care, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye. All right. Where are we at here? All right. Just about, hold on. I'm confused. What time did the show start? 5:30, right?
Well, 8:30,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 9:30. Okay, so it's 9:30. So we actually have 36 minutes to go. I think we have a. We'll have to.
Why does it say on?
It says an hour six. Yeah, I think it automatically took a set it for a 2 hour show.
Okay.
We'll just exactly. At 10 o'clock, we'll just end it. We'll click that little gray button that says end the show now. Anyway, so if you guys want to call in, 646-478-469.
Sorry.
Oh, that's great.
And don't forget, we will be back Tuesday night, May 10th, because we own Tuesday nights with the great TV radio legend Monty Hall, former New York Rangers broadcaster. Back in the day, Monty's going to join us, tell us some stories. And like I've told you all along, I don't know how long he can go with hockey stories. So, you know,
I think he probably can.
We'll see. We'll see. But
he covered the Rangers from 58 to 60. Can't wait to hear some Alfie Pike stories. Camille Henry.
I think he's got other hockey stories as well, because if I'm not mistaken, he was a Toronto sportscaster as well. So, well, look, this is. I just think it's going to be fun. We're going to talk to him about whatever comes to mind. If we talk about let's make a deal, the whole bit. So it's going to be a good time. So we're sitting here after an hour and a half with him on the phone, and we're talking about let's make a deal. Don't bitch in the chat room, all right?
Yeah.
Man's 90 years old. We're grateful he's coming on. It's going to be fun. Exactly. All right, you ready for Mandar?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hey, Mandar.
Ready for Mandar? Sounds like a 50s sitcom.
No, that's that. Hey, Mandar. Da, da, da. You know, like Hey Mambo.
Hey, no. Mandar.
No, it'd be better for the Odd Couple theme, at least for Monty.
So, thoughts?
I have lots of thoughts. Thoughts about Henrik Lundqvist saying something when reporters are coming around and asking him after they've just been ousted out of the playoffs, coming off of two straight hard losses? Yeah, he's pissed. I think we're looking for a far-reaching meaning from a guy that's tremendously disappointed that played his heart out. I just can't see there being anything more to that. He's never going anywhere else. Mark that down.
Wait a minute. Absolute authority is back.
Exactly. Mark it down. Never going anywhere else. Number one, he's beyond a fan favorite. Number two, he's never going to find any place that he could be what he is like he is in New York. I'm not saying he would have to take a hometown discount ever to stay here because I think they'll always throw money at him to keep him there. So that's he's a Ranger for life. No matter what disappointment happens, no matter what, you know, they try to interpret from what he says, he's a Ranger for life. And there's no ultimatum. Sure, he'd want everybody to get, you know, a little bit more help in front of him. You know, I would assume that 29 other teams after they get ousted will say they should have had this or should have had that. But the bottom line is the guy's a Ranger for life.
I hope you're right.
Until he starts thinking. That's what they're going to be in the middle of the 10-year contract, you know.
But you know what, though, Eddie? By that time, he's going to be in line to be setting Ranger goaltending records, right? The guy's gotten over 30 wins every year in his career. He's going to try to break that record. He's going to try to break Richter's career win record. He's going to try to break the Jokinen's career shutout record. He'll always have a Ranger record to go for because he's going to be playing all the games and staying here for so many years. The fans, they might be upset about a bad goal or two, but when he comes up to that cusp of that 30th win of the year, you know they're going to be all going crazy because he's done it for the 15th straight year, setting a new NHL record, and they're all going to be excited about him again. He always has something in front of him to reach for from a Ranger goaltending record. He'll never let that go, and the fans will never get that down on him.
Plus, he's a handsome Swede.
Although, I guess a couple of women in the chat room will get upset if he does get married, but, you know, they'll stick with him, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. He's a good-looking man. Oh, Lord. What about my the apples to oranges comparison to the Washington series against us and to Tampa Bay? Does that make us look worse or better or the same?
It has nothing to say about us. Zero. Nothing at all. Has nothing to say about us. Washington beating us, really, to be honest with you, they probably was the worst thing that they could probably do was to beat us like they did. They beat us in five. They got a little bit more hype than they thought they should be. They weren't playing a team with the talent level like Tampa Bay has. It's obvious. It's obvious. The Rangers had no firepower. They faced a team. You talk about polar opposites in terms of offensive explosion. My God. They were facing a team that could put a puck in the net from lines 1-3. Sean Bergenheim has 7 goals, put 2 of them in last night. The Bergenheim connection with the other jerk-off that passes from behind the net. Plus Dominic Moore. These guys are playing, you know, like madmen, Eddie, like madmen. And free, and
but you're trying to tell me that we don't have a Sean Bergenheim or a Dominic Moore who was a Ranger property, and Bergenheim was former Islander property. We don't have any guys like that.
You know what it
Apparently
is? It's the Rob Brown Warren Young connection. And if you guys who have been watching hockey long enough know who these two guys are, scored a ton of goals because they played with guys like Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr. Were these guys goal scorers? Not by any means, but they become that way because they're surrounded with players that are so elite and that kind of talent, it's almost like they can't help but fall over themselves to score goals like that. The Rangers don't have anybody like that, which is another reason I think, you know, you get a Brad Richards, maybe that opens up the ice for Derek Stepan to get more than 21 goals on a different line. Or, you know, because they're not facing the number one checking line or the number one defensive tandem all the time. I think getting a guy like Richards, while is going to fill a big hole in a number one center slot, also has other reaching effects that branch out on the team because of those other factors that they won't have to find. Maybe you get more ice time. Maybe you get more room on the ice because you're not facing the shutdown pair every game. Because, you know, Richards and Gabrick, if they're on the same line, would.
Well, so where are you now? Let me get you on the record about Richards. I know this is a long summer, and we're going to be talking about Brad Richards every show, probably. But, again, do you think the Rangers should go at him 110%?
Yeah. It's again, because is it right now, as we stand and talk about this right now, it is the right thing to do. It is filling a need. It is doing, if you're basing it on the guy's track record and what he brings to a team, yes, it's the right move right now. Now, let's say they sign him for $7 million a year, and next year he goes out and scores 10 goals and 20 assists, and everybody's going to say, see, shouldn't have signed him. No, right now, it's the right move. Right now, you know, 90
points. Oh, I can see Larry Brooks writing that article if he's got 10 goals and 20 assists.
Of course. Of course, because everybody thinks it's everybody becomes an expert after the fact. Or people who want to hedge their bets right now are going to say, yeah, it's great, but watch what happens in 2 years. Okay, I'll watch what happens in 2 years. But you know what? Right now, if you're saying to me the Rangers' biggest need is a number one center who's going to be a great setup guy, who's going to be your power play quarterback, who's going to be the guy that shoulders the load, the guy that has experience and has won before, who seems to be a perfect fit to a very big missing puzzle piece on this team, and you're going to say, I'm not going to give him the money. I got burned before on big contracts. I don't want to spend it. Well, then get ready for another year where your leading goal scorer gets 23 goals. You're going to get no 60-point scorers again, and it's going to be more of the same.
Now, you know, I love Chandler, and Chandler, this is why the show is so great. He's of the other opinion. We know how this works. Every time we sign somebody, but we do forget about the successes, even though they're few and far between, when it does work out. And I just think you can't – it's a new year. I mean, I know with this Ranger thing, we have this negative energy thing that we always feel like the worst is going to happen. And let's face it, it usually does. But we still have to do the right thing, you know, even though it may seem, doomed. At the end of it, we still have to go on with the right thing. And I really, could you think of a better fit than Brad Richards? And going back to your other comment about making other players better, maybe we'll get like a Chris Kontos kind of thing happens, you know, where Lemieux, sends him into another stratosphere. Maybe Brad Richards could send,
sure, it could. Absolutely. That's another point. Maybe he makes some of the players, maybe he can elevate some of the players' numbers just by his presence and taking away some of the checking line guys, or, you know, whoever would be, I'm just assuming that he's going to be with Gabrick, you know, who's ever on the left wing on the line will probably get, you know, a pretty big benefit and boost from that. But, you know, everybody wants to be able to talk about things so far after the fact. And, you know, yeah, our draft record has been spotty. Yeah, other teams have gotten gems in the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th rounds. But you know what? 200 other players were picked before them. So evidently, you know, it's not something that's, you know, totally mutually exclusive to the Rangers, you know. The great players who are drafted in the first, you know, few picks, you know, are usually touted as such. You're not, you know, you're going to get a Jonathan Toews recently, or you get a Crosby or an Ovechkin. These guys, you know, they're going to be superstars. It's rare that you get the Alexander Diggs or the Brian Lawtons of the world that come in, you know, that early in the draft and just go totally bust on you. Late in the first round, yeah, everybody says we should have done, we should have gotten Corey Perry or even Zach Parise, you know, but 20 teams passed on them too. I mean, you know, some teams will go ahead and take a flyer on a team on a player that they like, regardless of need. There's so many different things that go into taking a player that, you know, by that time, after the first 20 to 25 picks, you know, unless you know something that nobody else does, and in this age of scouts and communication and technology, it's going to be rare that you're going to find anybody in you know, the last 3 or 4 years that's going to come at you with such a surprise that you didn't see it coming. I mean, there are those players that go ahead and just absolutely mature and go gangbusters after they're drafted. Hey, that's fantastic too. But I don't lament the fact that we can't draft a fifth-round guy like Pavel Datsyuk. Well, again, 150 players went before him. Should I feel bad for the other teams, too, that they didn't go ahead and draft him either? We got Henrik Lundqvist in the seventh round. You know, our other, I would love to know from another team's perspective, did they go, what the hell were we thinking for seven rounds? We could have had Henrik Lundqvist. It's just all this,
right?
All this Monday morning quarterbacking, all this, we should have done this, we should have done this. We don't know how to draft. We can't do this, we can't do that. You know, Callahan wasn't a first-round draft pick. He's doing pretty good for us. Neither was Dubinsky. He's doing pretty good for us. You know, Stahl was our number one draft pick on defense the year that they took, you know, Crosby in the draft. He's doing pretty good. Girardi was undrafted. I mean, look up and down this line. Sauer wasn't a first-round draft pick for the Rangers. Neither was McDonald. We traded for him. I mean, you go up and down the line. You know, we got gems after the first round. What we're lacking is the game breakers that you need to get you over the hump. We got the pluggers. We got the solid guys. Now we need the elite players that get you over that hump.
Well, that's for sure. That's what Jim Schoenfeld said. And he says we need two or three elite players to really be a championship team. So they know it. And to me, Brad Richards is one of them. I don't know about the concussion. That's the only thing I have to be worried, but I think you got to go after him.
Oh, absolutely. And you think about it, too. How often, now you're getting the elite players signing really long-term deals now. So how often is an elite player going to be available to you? In the coming years, are you going to see a player that's 90 points be an unrestricted free agent, where all you got to do is throw cash at him? Because a lot of these guys are getting re-signed by their own teams and re-up for long-term deals. You know, nobody's out there looking to trade their best player or to their elite player. It just doesn't happen, you know, unless there's, you know, a rift with management or something. But you don't get elite players out there in the marketplace that you can acquire in a trade. And most of them are not even reaching, you know, unrestricted free agency. I'd love to get Shea Weber here. There's no way in hell Nashville would ever trade that guy. I mean, the elite defensemen, we're not getting somebody else's number one or number two. They're just not on the market. You know, and by the time they can go ahead and become unrestricted free agents, they're either signed or they're 35. So when you got the opportunity to get something that fits a need like this, it's got to be a no-brainer.
All right.
You talked me back into it.
Oh, well, you talked that shit back into it there.
Like I said, I'm on the fence about it, but you talked me back into it. Go get Brad Richards.
It's
money, right? I mean, before the cap, none of us cared because we could say we could throw $9 million at Bobby Holik because we could. All right, you're in a cap league now. But as a guy like Brad Richards, that's the going rate. I mean, you know, Drury and Gomez.
Mandar, let me ask you a question since we're talking about cap. Are you still anti-buying out Chris Drury?
Absolutely.
What if what if that's the difference between being able to afford Brad Richards?
But it's not.
Are you sure? With all the guys they have to sign?
Well, unless you're going to give some of these guys ridiculous contracts, the money's going to be there for them to do it.
Yeah, that's true. The Rangers would never do that.
Right. Well, you think about it, too. They delayed on signing Stahl last year until we can go ahead and basically, you know, no, it wasn't Stahl. Who was it that we delayed in signing until we could throw Redden down in the minors? I mean, there's always going to be a way to do it. You know, they have plenty of room under the cap during the summer cap, even with Redden's contract on. And you know they're going to have some sort of a deal with one of their own guys, and maybe they'll say, hey, we can't announce it now until after we are able to send down a Redden or even Drury as well, if that's what they decide to do. The Rangers will always take care of their own players like that. So, you know, unless somebody else is going to throw an offer sheet at one of the Ranger guys and wanting to give a compensation for it, I don't see there being an issue with signing a Brad Richards to any kind of a deal. Now, you know, it's not my money, but, do I mind if they sign him to $7 million a year? Is that what the going rate is for a 90-point player that does everything we believe will do? Yeah, it's what it is.
All right, okay. Mad Dog, you're on the record.
I'm on the record.
You want to bring in DB Maven?
Sure.
He's on hold. And I think Jack might be on hold, too. Whoa, DB.
Hey, guys.
How are you, DB Maven?
I'm doing okay.
I just want to tell you, DB, on Saturday, you make sure you check out Blue Shirt Banner on Saturday.
On Saturday, I need to check. Okay, well,
yes,
I check it daily, so that's
okay.
Not an issue.
All right. Just want to make sure you don't miss it on Saturday.
I will. I have a feeling that there's something that's... Never mind. I won't go there. I will check it out. I happen to agree with Mandar on about 98% of what he's saying. That to me, there's absolutely... I'm not on the fence, and I'm glad he dragged you off the fence. If he didn't, I would. Richards is the only marketable player out there, and the talk about trading for Stastny, to me, is wishful thinking. If they were going to do that, I think they would have tried to do it at the deadline this year. And I don't think Colorado really is going to let him go. You'd have to send just way, way, way too much Colorado's way to get them to let go of Stastny. I just don't see that happening.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Exactly,
yeah,
Paulie.
I agree with Paulie on that. I don't see that happening at all. But the problem is, I've been kind of wandering through Cap Geek while you guys were talking, and it's going to be tough to keep Drury and Volsky. And sign everybody else at reasonable rates and bring in Richards. I mean, even if you only give Callie and Doobie 3.5 and you bring back Feds for $1.5 million, a little bit of a raise, and you bring in or bring Artie back for like 1.8, maybe 1.5, something like that. You bring Boyle back for 1.2. I mean, you're not talking being outrageous with those guys. You're giving them healthy raises, but... you know, not extravagant, and you got to bring back Sauer for like 1.5, maybe a little bit less. But even if the cap goes up to 62.2 the way it's projected, you're pushing right up against it. You're really pushing right up against it. So it's not going to be easy. It probably can be done, and that's probably Mandar's point. But I have a question for Mandar. You're talking about holding off on signing guys, but basically they have to be signed to be in camp or they have to be on a tryout contract. So I don't know how you can do that with a restricted free agency. They'd effectively miss the entire preseason, training camp and all.
Yeah, I thought that they were doing that. Now, who was it that signed late last year after it was the – I thought it was – install after the summer cap restriction went away when they sent down
was it Girardi?
They didn't send Redden down until
September 25th,
like,
wasn't it?
Right. Like, I mean, it was literally the preseason was over. So it couldn't have been Stahl or Girardi because they played the preseason.
It may be that they played on a try. I mean, I don't remember how it went down, but that's exactly the way that they were able to do what they did. Or maybe they could have it signed, but they just don't have the official announced signing until after the summer cap goes away and you do what you got to do with your personnel. Because that was really the only way they were able to sign the guys they signed, you know, at the end of last year also.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look, but I can't. I mean, even if they're restricted free agents, they're not permitted to be in camp without a contract, and they can't be on a tryout contract. So I'm guessing it might have been like maybe Fedotenko. Maybe Prospo,
sure.
Those guys.
Well, Fedotenko did get signed after. Actually, he got signed, I think, after the preseason was over.
Right.
Yeah.
So him it might have been, but it couldn't have been Stahl or anything. From the side.
And a shot. And a shot.
From the side.
So you know they're missing. You've got to hope that the defense starts to take the natural progression, and that Stahl and McDonough, and if they bring back Gilroy, that they start to show some offensive production and take the next step to being a better in the two-way, if you will. McDonough, I think, certainly is capable of doing it. And they need an elite player, like you said, Mandar, to go along with Gaborik and take some of the attention off. Because without somebody who can set up Gaborik and have them have the competition's defense paying a lot of attention to open up the ice for the opposite wing, it's just not going to change. It's really not. So it's going to be an interesting offseason. Of course, none of us know what evil lurks in the mind of Glenn Sather. You know, the Jedi.
That's right.
The Jedi mind tricks come out, and who knows? You know, he pulls off a Corey Perry for Chris Drury or something. You know, it's something absurd, and you go, how the hell did he do that?
I'll tell you what you can get if you don't get Brad Rich instead of DB. It's going to be Hey Duke and James Wisniewski. And that's what I think is going to happen.
Peter Mueller.
See? That's what I
you're
hope.
Killing
I
me.
I think they're going to throw everything at Rich. I think
you're right. I think they're right. I think Richard's... Yeah, and maybe we're all projecting and it's wishful thinking, but it certainly seems that common knowledge that Richards has a relationship with Tortorella and has maintained it since they were separated, and it seems that he wants to play for Tortorella again. And
make him sound like Liz and Dick.
Yeah, well, God bless you. Yeah. It seems
that way. They had a relationship. They're separated. They're getting back together.
Vicky, what do I do with all this scrap metal? Dad?
Sorry. I'm going crazy.
Vicky, what do I do with all this scrap metal? Dad? What should Jan do with all her scrap metal?
Tell her to shove it up her ass.
We're getting silly. All right, so I've got what I would call an interesting rumor, and it is rumor, pure, absolute, unmitigated rumor. It has nothing to do with rosters or anything like that, but from what I would consider a pretty reasonably reliable source, there is a rumor floating around up in this neck of the woods, which is north of New York City, that there's a possibility, right. So I'll leave it at the very extreme outside kind of chance of Mikey Stadium being transformed into an outdoor hockey rink, and that the traditional Army Air Force hockey game will be played outdoors, and that following, this would be sort of a matinee scenario, following that game, the New York Rangers would play, and there's a question mark, some
winner of the winner of the Army Air Force game.
Oh, Magoo, you got it again.
And it's coming from a reasonably reliable, so a doubleheader at West Point.
Oh,
West Point.
Oh, okay, West Point. All right, that makes sense then. I think that'd be kind of cool, actually, if the Rangers played up there.
I mean, I'm not too familiar with. I mean, I've been to West Point several times. What's going on there as far as letting people onto West Point? I know since 9/11, it's been kind of. Wouldn't that kind of be? I don't know what goes on over there.
It happens all the time.
I think a lot of drunk Army and Air Force and Ranger fans intermingling.
Sounds like a fun mix to me.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a blast. Are you kidding? I mean, they have, you know, Army football plays six or whatever it is home games there every year, and they generally do a fairly good job of selling out the stadium. Not that it's an SRO crowd, but I forget what it seats for football. I want to say it's something like 18,000 or 19,000, maybe a little bit more than that. I can look it up while we're talking.
The Army Air Force outdoor game, man. I'd be into that.
Yeah, that'd be cool, too. Yeah.
Air Force has had a good team the last few years. Army's been up and down, interestingly enough. But, that'd be fun. It would be. It's fun when it's indoors. So,
I brought in Jack. Jack, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing there?
Good. How you doing? Welcome to the program.
Good.
I didn't even realize we're running out of time, and I didn't want to leave you hanging there. So.
You know what? I just got a couple of minutes. I just basically wanted to talk about how Tampa swept the Caps and how these former Islanders just came up huge, like recycled and refurbished Rolly the goalie and that guy Burger Time. Whatever his name is there, he was huge. I mean, and think of the veteran Tampa players, you know, Vinny Caviar and Marty St. Louis Luai. You know, they. I mean, as a team, they just impressed me, man. They just had it together. Their power play, the and Rolly the goalie. I mean, he's just been unbelievable.
Yeah, I like the Burger Time one. I'm going to steal that one.
Vinny Caviar. I call him Vinny Chevrolet sometimes, too. But you think he'd be a good fit for the Rangers, Vinny, from Tampa for about a year or so? Or I don't know if that would possibly happen, but, you know, there was rumors last year or so circulating that he was going to be a Ranger in
He's kind of regained his game a little bit, so that I think those rumors. I think he's going to stay, especially with his success this year. I think he's going to stay where he is.
And I think when Yzerman took over as GM in Tampa, it just brought a whole new attitude down here. I mean, I'm not a Lightning fan, but you know, since I'm down here in Florida, I kind of want to see him do good because they helped the Rangers. And
they are a team that helped the Rangers get into the playoffs and eliminate the Capitals. So I could see no reason why Ranger fans wouldn't root for them. And it's easy to get caught up in like a regional hoopla. Especially if your team, the real team there is eliminated. I got no problem with that.
And
Vinny is signed to a $7.727 million cap hit contract through 2019-2020.
Oofa.
Oh. Oofa is right.
Oh, I thought Spence's contract was bad.
Wow, and Kovalchuk's. Jeez.
Wow. Yeah, no, I don't. I don't think.
You make Spence's contract look like Fedotenko's.
Yeah, I don't think Benny is leaving Tampa Bay anytime soon.
Yeah. I'm still reeling from Redden. I mean, that's
so bad.
Actually,
that's Brad Richards. That's what Brad Richards is going to get with the Rangers.
Right.
Jeez.
Not through 2020, though, I'll bet.
No. 2030.
Yeah, Redden's contract only got 3 more years to go.
Unbelievable.
Three more years.
I'm glad that Tampa found a way to beat that Caps goalie. I call him No Warts.
You got all nicknames, Jack. I love it.
I'm the Nick Berman of
Blue Shirt Panorama.
I got nicknames for everybody just about, but I'm just surprised, though, how the Tampa just rolled them over. It's just amazing how they did it. And I hope they make it to the finals at least, because I want to go up there and see a playoff game up there. So that would be nice. That's the talk around here anyway. That's it. I know your show is running there. And
all right. Well, I appreciate you checking in with us. We always love hearing from you.
Yeah, you too. Good show. A lot of good calls tonight. And can't wait for the puck to drop for the Rangers next year. All this talk, man. It's going to seem like a long summer again.
Just come here. We make it fun.
It'll go fast.
Yeah. It'll go fast. Next week, Monty Hall, and after that, we're going to have Rick Carpinello on from the Journal News, who talked to a lot of the Rangers and John Tortorella at the exit meeting. So Rick's going to come on and tell us what Tort said, and then we're looking to get Andrew Gross and Jesse Spector, and then we're going to have Leslie Treff on to talk about the prospects. So we're going to be here Stan Fischler's going to be here.
Gary Berghoff,
Frank Gorshin, Marty Allen,
the Riddler,
Kyle Alcedo, Pepe Frias, Adam West is going to be here.
Nino Espinosa.
Steve Rebozo, Franklin Delano Roosevelt,
Charlie Puleo, Alex Trevino,
Jackson Todd,
geez,
Bruce Beauclair,
George Theodore,
Craig Swan, Doug Flynn, Claudel Washington. They're all going to be Fred Stanley.
Man, you got a long list there. Wow.
And we got all kinds of people booked for this show.
This is your fantasy radio segment of the show.
All right, Greg, we'll talk to you next time. We'll check us out Tuesday night from Monty Hall.
All right, have a good night. I'm interested in that show, so I'll be
all
here.
Right.
Bye. Good night, guys.
Bye.
Good night.
It's a great list of guests.
Yeah, I wish we really had them. Half of them are dead, but still.
That's what I was thinking as you're going through it.
I'm going, Kyle Alcedo, he's dead. I was just in a state of consciousness.
Wade Redden, he's dead. Oh, wait, sort of.
We got more calls, man. New people are... We only have like 2 minutes left.
That's Newman.
Well, they think it's a 32-minute.
Oh, okay.
So, you want to take Newman's call and then we'll call it a night?
Yeah, maybe you can do your bit. I want to be waiting for this.
Well, I just told Newman that we'd make him laugh. Get the rim shot ready.
All right. I got it.
Newman.
How are you, boys?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thanks for the support, guys.
All is well. You're feeling better. You're on the mend. Stacy's taking care of you. Chicken soup, the whole bit.
Yes, she is. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. So what
was wrong with you? I had fluid in my chest.
John, are you still on the phone? It's your father. John.
Your breast implants leaking?
John. John, it's time to take your temperature. And this time, don't put the thermometer in your mouth. It's rectal. See, Eddie, do you know the difference between a rectal and an oral thermometer? The taste.
I know.
The taste. John, your mother's waiting with the thermometer.
Wait, say it again. I'm sorry, I was laughing.
John, your mother's waiting with the thermometer. You know, John went to see his doctor, and the doctor told him, John, you got to stop masturbating. Why, John said. The doctor looked at him and said, because I'm trying to examine you. They asked John if he was allergic to any medications. He said, yes, Novocaine. It makes me numb. They found some fluid in John's lungs. Did you know that, Eddie? Daniels.
Guys are the best.
John, go take your temperature. This is your father's thing. Go take your temperature. You know, the medication that they gave John makes him constipated. So they gave him a laxative. Now he goes every morning like clockwork at 7:30 a.m. Problem is, he doesn't get up until 8. John, this is your father. Get off the phone.
Can I give you my news?
Thanks, Mr. Newman.
Yeah.
We love it when your dad calls in, by the way.
So do I. So the news of the night.
Here we go.
You ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Here we go. You're getting married.
Yeah, I wish that were the case, but Stacy says hi. She's in Indiana. But I went to go see my sister last week.
You won't marry you.
She proposed? I went to go see my sister.
Stacy, will you marry me?
I'm gonna. Okay, go on. Okay, so I went to see Mike Richter last week.
Okay.
I gave him your number and Eddie's number, and his agent might be calling you to come on the show.
Wow.
That's the news.
Why are we playing taps for Mike Richter?
He's never coming on this show.
Oh, okay. Well, he's not an MSG employee, isn't he?
What? I don't know. And I dropped the ball on that because I was supposed to send John an official Blue Shirt Banner radio thing and with the letter and the invitation. And sorry about that, John. All right. I did give him both your numbers, the agent both your numbers, so hopefully somebody will call either one of you.
Well, thank you, John.
You're welcome. But thank you, and I hope you feel better, bro. I really do. Why I'm on the mend. I drove myself to the emergency room. My parents, my dad says to me, you're crazy. I said, yeah, well, you know. Stacy comes to the emergency room 3 hours later. She's like, what the hell are you doing?
John, why are you driving yourself to the hospital?
Thanks, Jim. I drove myself on the side.
I told him not to go to the hospital like that, but he doesn't listen.
He proposed to me, and I'm going to Indiana.
That's right. Yeah, to Indiana, the whole Michael Jackson.
Why is she in Indiana without you?
She went to her sister's graduation.
Oh, I thought you two go everywhere together.
I'm not invited to the graduation. What are you, insane?
Why?
Oh, he's out of his
Aren't
mind.
Aren't you family?
Well, they booked the flights a year ago.
Oh, she didn't know you.
She didn't know me then.
But nothing happened.
Those were the good days. trying to think, but I have.
You guys are brutal. Oh, my goodness.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
He loves the attention, DB.
You are a sucker for punishment, my man.
Thank you, DB. I love it. I love it, brother. I love it. Are you kidding me? At least you can go on all night for this. Be aware. You might get a call from Mike Richter's agent, honestly.
Joe Greenby said he wants more Ranger talk. This is nonsense.
You want a Ranger Crisis? I'll give you a Ranger Crisis.
Yeah, he was.
No, let's go.
The show's over.
Like he wants more Ranger talk.
Yeah, at the end, he wants some more Ranger talk.
What do you? Ranger talk? Okay.
All the humanity.
Okay, the Rangers made a signing today, Joe. Here.
New York Rangers have agreed to terms with Aaron Voros, Patrick Rissmiller, Steve Valiquette, Michael Roosevelt, and Wade Redden.
Hey, Glenn, oh, Jesus,
that was
Wade
like
Redden?
That was like 0 for 72.
Hey, Glenn, why'd you sign Wade Redden again?
That was a rogues gallery of shit.
Good
hey, where's
Lord.
That trouble paid either?
Yes.
Wade Redden was a two-time All-Star. He's a guy we targeted immediately, and we think he's the best first passer in the game and a guy that's going to help get the puck up to the forwards, both he and Roosevelt, and we're happy to have him.
I wonder if he ever listens to that clip.
That's a Hall of Fame right there. That's a Hall of Fame inception speech right there.
Oh, my
actually,
God.
Actually, he probably Jedi mind-tricked himself so that he thinks that he never said that.
Yeah. I like the one out. I don't know. We don't think we have it where he says that Bugard's going to help clearing the net this year.
No, we have, don't
clean,
we have that one?
Wait a minute. Hold it. Cleaning or clearing?
Cleaning or clearing.
Cleaning.
Oh, we don't have that one?
He's going to be one of the high scores next year.
Hold on, what's
I mean,
this?
I can...
What font did you present? Did you use that you looked on your depth chart you didn't think he was? You didn't think he was?
Well, he's been around here for a few years. He's going to get this problem sooner or later.
No, I don't think that's it.
That's
I thought we had that. Yeah, that was downstairs at the draft last year.
Are you guys going this year?
I don't know yet.
Don't know yet.
You didn't get clearance for the Ranger brush yet?
Nope. It's not up to them, it's up to the NHL.
Oh, pardon me.
So,
up to the Rangers, it wouldn't even be a shot.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd be dead if it was up to the Rangers.
You get John Gino's pass. You give Steve
From the side. All right. That's enough.
What an answer, folks.
This is the royal wedding. Come on.
Yeah, two rules. Don't lie to us.
Okay.
You can lie to women. You can lie to...
See you guys. We'll see you guys Tuesday night.
Good night,
everybody.
What you say?
I guess if